Oregon's first cross-country tourist, or at least the first to arrive by automobile. That happened over 100 years ago. We're with Annie Van Dometz from Oregon Travel Experience. Who was this guy, Annie? He came here by car, what was it, 1905?
Yes, it was actually June 20th, 1905, and his name was Dwight Huss. And he was driving a 1904 Oldsmobile that he named Old Scout. And he was the first car to cross the Cascade Mountains and went over the Santa Ann Wagon Road.
And this was part of a transcontinental road race, correct?
It was. It was. They were traveling from New York to Portland. And it was the first car to travel north across the United States from east to west.
And to commemorate this event, there is on the highway in Oregon historical marker.
Yes, yeah, it's one of our older markers, which we affectionately call beaver boards. Well, this one has a picture of the car etched into the top of it, so it doesn't have our traditional beaver. So it's kind of a fun one to stop and see.
Now, Oregon Travel Experience, the agency with which you're associated, they're a public-private agency, and the Oregon historical markers fall under your heading. That's one of the things you folks do. What exactly are these markers, and where in the state will we find them?
Well, they're all over the state, actually. We have them in every region. They were originally created by the Oregon Highway Department, which is now ODOT, and they were created in the off-season, so when the workers were in the winter when they didn't have as much to do, they would carve these markers and place them around the state. So it's really Oregon's first roadside history project. And so as they went along, they started to fall into disrepair as their resources got more and more constricted. So in 1991, the legislature asked our agency to adopt them and administer the program. So we formed committees that maintain the old markers, but then also look for new stories to put out. So the Transcontinental Auto Race is one of the older routed markers, but you'll also find more modern interpretive panels with photographs and things like that around the state as well.
And I assume among these committees there's a public process. For example, the public would have input on where to put markers and what events they should commemorate.
Right, yeah. There's a whole list of criteria that the committee follows. And we get a lot of input from experts depending on what the topic is. So they go through a very large vetting process. And they are mostly community supported. So the committee will often look for partners if they have a story in mind that they think isn't well interpreted around the state. But also committee members will come to the committee or community members will come to the committee with ideas for stories that they'd like to see developed. And then that goes through a whole process to make sure that it meets the criteria. And then it's developed. It usually takes about a year. It's quite a long process.
And also in the case of the Transcontinental Race Marker, while you're up there taking a look at that, you can also take advantage of the other activities in the area, as with other markers around the state.
Yeah, and in fact, really just a few miles up the road from this marker, there's access to the original Santa Ann Wagon Road. So you can go through and hike a piece of that trail. It's pretty amazing to see and imagine what it must have been like. The roads weren't graded. They were just dirt tracks. So it just gives it an extra dimension of how tough that trip must have been and what an accomplishment it was.
Nearby Portland, at Joel Perkins Park, Lafayette, Oregon, just a few miles from Portland, there's the Abigail Scott Dunaway marker. Who is she and why was she significant? Why does she deserve a marker?
Oh, well, this is one of our newest markers. It was just installed in September, and it's one of the newer styles, so it has all the photographs and some historical documents on the marker, so it's a pretty fun one to see. She was considered the mother of the Oregon women's suffrage movement. So women have only had the right to vote for 100 years as of today, or this year. It's their the centennial celebration of the women getting the right to vote. And so she really was the leader in Oregon for that movement. And so she lived in Lafayette, and that's where she's believed to have attended her first campaign speech. And this really shocked the town because it wasn't normal for women to attend political rallies or be involved in politics at all. And so she was really breaking ground. It's hard for us to imagine now that women weren't part of that, but she really set the stage for women to become part of politics.
Annie Van Dammit, she's with Oregon Travel Experience, and they're responsible for the historical markers you see all over the state. Where can we go online to find out more, Annie, about Oregon Travel Experience?
We have an interactive map on our website, which is ortravelexperience.com. And there's a map for heritage trees and historical markers, and you can click on them, get directions on where to find them, and see photos and descriptions of each site.
And that can enhance a visit to Oregon for somebody from out of state, but also if you happen to live here and you're traveling around Oregon, that definitely can make the whole thing more interesting for you. Thanks a lot, Annie.
Sure. Thank you.